This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
But I want to go back to that 70% number. You talk about the wealthy. They're not all wealthy people. 70% say the economy is good and they're doing well.
Well, I'm just saying, here we are on a show and you're standing up for Mr. Trump's version of the economy. And I'm telling you,
about a national poll. I'm not standing up for anybody. I'm telling you about a national poll.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
He's delivered the goods for a lot of African Americans, has he not, with record low unemployment levels?
Because it's not true. African American unemployment is not the lowest it's ever been. Unless you count slavery, we were fully employed during slavery.
I genuinely don't know how to respond to that.
You said that you would release your medical records before the primaries.
Are you going to release all your medical
Absolutely, yes.
When do you plan to do that?
As soon as we can.
You haven't done that. Is releasing full medical records, is that no longer something?
Now, we have released, I think, Anderson, quite as much as any other candidate has.
You don't plan to release any more records?
I don't. I don't think we will, no.
Who do you love? Howie Carr.
If your conversation during a presidential election is about some guy wearing a dress and whether he, she, or it can go to the locker room with their daughter.
Did he just say what I thought he said?
Some guy wearing a dress and whether he, she, or it.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
Unchained and unstoppable.
He is going to wreak revenge on some people. I don't know in all the ways that he's going to do it. And then he's going to put Putin right in our face. He's going to bring him to the White House.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
It's amazing how paranoid they have become of Russia, a declining nation with, granted, a nuclear stockpile, but it has an economy the size of Italy's. And yet they seem truthfully realistic. It would be one thing if they were just making it up, but Maxine seems really concerned.
No, I think
about
it's
Russia.
Howie, it's the wheel. It's like the wheel of fortune. They spin it every once in a while. It doesn't work out, and then they wait to see if it comes back. And now it's back to Russia. A news just came out about Julian Assange. Did you see this?
No, what's that?
They're saying that Trump sent someone over to basically bribe Julian Assange with a pardon if he denied hacking the elections. And Stephanie Grisham already came out and said this is a complete and total lie.
What I don't understand the whole premise of it. If he denied hacking,
it doesn't make any sense. But it's so obvious. Like, I can feel it in the air when they're going to shift to a new narrative. And now it's
is this the same people who were reporting yesterday that William Barr was packing up boxes at the Bobby Kennedy building, the Justice Department, and loading up, getting ready to resign and quit and move away and join the witness protection program?
Well, they always say all roads. What does Pelosi say? She says all roads lead back to Putin. All roads in their worlds actually do. Like, every time something fails, they go back to Russia. It's like the old boyfriend or girlfriend that you know isn't going to work out, but you go back there to comfort yourself. Like, okay, well, another thing failed. Ukraine failed, right, but we can go back to Russia for a little bit and make ourselves feel better.
It's like Adam Schiff said, if we don't remove Donald Trump, he's going to do it again with Russia. And then, you know, unfortunately, everybody raised their hand in the Senate, you know, the Republicans. Excuse me, Mr. Schiff. Didn't you have a 3-year investigation with 1920 angry Democrats, 40 FBI agents looking for Russian collusion? And there wasn't any. So how can he do it again if they never did it the first time? But they don't seem to care. Grace, there's a big story out of New Hampshire at this today. I don't know if you've seen it. I just got a text about it. It's the lead story in the Union Leader website. Mm-hmm. Did you see this story?
What is it?
Croydon police chief walks home in underwear after firing.
Oh, I didn't see that. What a statement, though.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, the headline's a little deceptive. He wasn't fired. He was laid off. Police Chief Richard Croydon said he was forced to hand over his gun, belt, uniform, and cruiser keys at town hall yesterday. After the Board of Selectmen voted to dissolve the town's one-man police department. I was told I had to turn over the keys to the cruiser and my uniform immediately. I had no means of transportation as the cruiser is a take-home vehicle, and I have no spare clothes in the office, so I did as ordered. He started walking back towards his home in Newport during a snowstorm. Wait a second. Why didn't you, Chief Lee, why didn't you call your wife or your kid and have one of them pick you up?
Oh, Howie, I don't have to explain to you why he didn't have them pick him up. No, he's got something. He's got a little suit in his hands. He catches a cold.
Well, he is going to sue.
Of course he is. I'm just a girl from Milton, Howie, and I could figure that out.
He began walking back home during a snowstorm, wearing boots, his hat, and his underwear before his wife drove up to get him. And one of the
Oh, very good, Matt.
A local concerned citizen said, "What kind of town lets their chief of police walk home in a snowstorm in his underwear?" A very good question, I might add.
Captain Underpants. That's sad, though. They should have given him a pair of sweats. You'd think they'd have, like, a backup outfit, you know?
He looks very sad in the photograph in the newspaper.
I have a story, Howie, that I think is just as riveting. Pigeons in MAGA hats set loose in Las Vegas ahead of Democratic debate. A flock of pigeons. Remember this happened in California, Howie, where they were all wearing cowboy hats?
Yes.
And people were really concerned, PETA especially, because they felt like, well, who's super gluing these hats on? I mean, people like you and I, Howie, said, how adorable, miniature hats on pigeons. What's not to love? But if you're an animal activist, I mean, there is a lot of questions that go into that. So now they have MAGA hats on, which is really going to drive the PETA people crazy. And they're flying around Sin City, living their best pigeon life.
I wonder if they're going to land on, if any of the pigeons wearing MAGA hats are going to land on the topless protester at Bernie's rally on Sunday.
Hopefully they don't drop something on those protesters. As someone who's been attacked, let's say, by birds in my own way, I can just say that you got to wear your own hat out there. You got to have a MAGA hat on to deflect from the droppings. Howie, I also wanted to talk briefly. I know we talked a lot about Rod Blagojevich yesterday because he returned home and Trump commuted his sentence.
The former governor of Illinois who spent 8 years in prison. And incidentally, did you see this, Grace? Last night was the first night since 2007 that there hasn't been at least one former Illinois governor sleeping in a federal penitentiary.
Wow.
2007. Four out of the last seven governors, if you include Blagojevich, after that it's different, but up to Blagojevich and the six previous governors, four out of the seven of them ended up in prison. Republican and Democrat alike. It was very bipartisan.
The times are a-changing, Howie.
Yes.
At least for the next couple of weeks, maybe, until someone else lands in there. I just wanted to say, because I had seen old photos of him, and obviously now a lot of 8 years has gone by, and he didn't have the hair dye in prison. And I just want to say, you know, it looks good. The gray hair does not look bad.
But he liked the nickname Elvis.
No, of course he did. Anyone who's dyeing their hair like that definitely loves the way it looks. But as a normal person, a sane observer, I can just tell him, it doesn't look bad to have gray hair. It looks a lot more natural. Not that that's what he was going for in the first place. But
Grace, the question on the text line is, did the chief walk home in long undies or short underwear? It's not in there.
Boxers or briefs, Howie?
That's another thing, too. They want to know, were they tidy whiteys? I don't know the answer to any of these questions.
Tidy whiteys would definitely make more of an impact. In the lawsuit, I mean. If seeing someone walk home in tidy whities, you have no choice but to give them some sort of compensation. Howie, Trump's approval rating hits a high post-impeachment. He again has reached a personal best average approval rating for jobs. He is a 46% of Americans approving of his performance as commander-in-chief. 51.1% of Americans disapprove of the job he is doing.
It's probably about 52 favorable, 45 negative.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just
in reality,
it's just crazy. And that cut of Tom Steyer in the intro. I know nobody cares about Tom Steyer. I know no one, you know, is afraid of Tom Steyer winning.
Tom Steyer is extremely concerned. He says, "Look, I know Bloomberg has spent $400 million, but I don't have $60 billion. All I got is a couple of billion. I've spent $80 million, and you threw me off the stage tonight for the other billionaire."
I think Tom Steyer is so wrapped up in the fact that he doesn't have as much money as Bloomberg that he's starting to forget he's still a billionaire, because he was arguing with who I believe was Martha Raddatz and basically saying, all the money in Trump's economy is only going to the rich. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, listen, I know you're not as rich as you were a couple months ago, but you're still okay. Like, don't act like you're Marie Antoinette, you're one of us, like you're going to play pauper for the day. You're still a rich person.
Well, I thought the best thing about that whole cut, Grace, was that he's yelling, basically, at Martha Raddatz saying, why aren't you reciting Democrat talking points here? Why you're on ABC News, where George Stephanopoulos works. Why are you asking me legitimate journalistic questions?
Exactly. And if Martha Raddatz was talking to Joe Biden and he said that, she definitely would have taken the cue and backed off. But she's not afraid of Tom Steyer. She's in her mind, she's like, more people know who I am than know who you are. I'm not afraid of you.
You know who I am.
And he sounded so Weasley too. He's like, I think it's very interesting that you're defending Trump. No, I'm citing a poll, and if you can't handle this, you probably aren't going to be president.
Yeah, should we play that? Well, we'll play the cut.
Yeah, let's
when we
play
come
it.
Back. Yeah, because you got to hear the whole thing. I mean, again, he's really on the verge of losing his temper because she's asking him a legitimate question.
I don't know how if it's more losing his temper or, you know, about to cry. Like, he's going to go, why are you doing this? You were supposed to read what I told you to read.
Yeah.
He seems like he's going to take his basketball and go home. By the way,
why
Howie,
are you sitting in for? Why are you sitting in for Steffi Stephanopoulos? Yeah. He never would have asked me a difficult question, even though this is legitimate. It's not really unfair, but he would have given me a softball question.
He would have asked me about my tie. He would have liked it. Oh, by the way, guys, if you're part of the Yang Gang and you've been feeling down for the last couple of days, I have some good news on the other side that's going to probably brighten up your day.
Yeah. Who would have thought that Yang would get a job with a cable network before one of the prosecutors from the Mueller gang who tried to send Roger Stone to prison for 7 to 9 years? But that's what happened. But I'll let Grace tell you where exactly he's going to quote-unquote work next. 5200, I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beats. I'm holding it up right here for the camera. It's great stuff. I just had some before I went on the show. Gave me a boost of energy.
Howie. I just had a scoop in the kitchen. We have a little bit left from the VIPs, and I just had a nice little blast of Super Beats.
It's great stuff. You can put it in water, or you can just slip a little bit under your tongue. It tastes like pixie sticks, not like real beets that you probably don't like. Anyway, Super Beets, you can get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. Matt, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who will be the first candidate to use the word billionaire? Bernie, the fake Indian, Mayor Pete, Klobuchar, or Biden?
I'm going to say the fake Indian. I like those words. She was on the warpath yesterday. She called Bloomberg an egomaniac billionaire.
I'm going to say Mayor Pete because I think he sees all these conversations happening and he's probably thinking, I'm actually the poorest on the stage. I might as well use this before everybody else. So I'm going to say Pete Buttigieg.
Here's a prediction for tonight. This is not one to have a drinking game about or put on a poll question, but I think Mayor Pete will definitely remind the audience that he is allegedly not a millionaire. I'm the only one on this stage who's not a millionaire. Oh, okay. Okay. That makes you really special, Mayor Pete.
If that's the qualifications for being president, right. You're looking at the first female president of the United States right here. What are the percentages, Matt?
So it's Bernie with 62%, followed by the fake Indian with 32%.
Awesome. All right, Howie. So the Yang gang can rejoice because Andrew Yang is joining CNN as a political commentator. No word on how much he's going to be making, but I'm sure that it will be a good amount of money. Now he joins the ranks of Andrew McCabe and other really reliable sources.
You know, like when you try out for a part, Grace, you know this from your theatrical career at Providence College, you have to read lines, right? When CNN mm-hmm. hires somebody, do you have to read lines? Trump is a danger to our democracy. Putin will be invited to the White House for the second inauguration. Do you have to read that to see how you come across?
I don't know, but if that's what they do for their audition processes, then I could really work for them because I was... not to toot my own horn here, but I was pretty well known for being good at the cold reads, as they call them. The cold reads when you get up and you haven't seen the script and you just got to kind of go with it. That was kind of my specialty. As a thespian, I mean.
Grace, they're saying they're just ahead of the debate tonight. The New York Post is reporting that there's now video of Bloomberg telling Trump, quote, "Yes, Donald, I do love you."
Oh,
you got to get that for me. You got to get Chris Matthews saying I was an altar boy.
I'm trying to find the Chris Matthews, but it's weird.
It's right there. That's easy to find. But
second part, though.
Oh, that's the second part.
The second part's obviously the part that's a little bit trickier to find. Wait, Howie, I have one more story I want to get to. We never really talked about this. It popped up last week. I figured it was going to go away, but it really took the world by storm. There was a video of a woman... on the plane, on a plane, and there was a man behind her right. pushing her seat. He did not have room behind him to recline, and she
had
her
seat.
He was at
the end. He was at the end of the cabin.
The cheap seat.
So he had nowhere to buy. He couldn't recline.
Right. And so now people are basically saying, and there's a piece in the Boston Globe, it's time to get rid of reclining seats in economy. In other words, the seats are already so small that there shouldn't be the option to recline. And I just wanted to know what are your thoughts? Do you blame the woman in this situation for reclining, or do you blame the guy for not just putting up with it?
I haven't had that problem lately, fortunately, but I've been bothered. I mean, I don't know. I can see both sides. I didn't really take a big stand one way or the other. I mean, who do you think is in the wrong? The recliner or the guy who was complaining?
See, it doesn't bother me when people recline, but I'm a fairly small person, so it doesn't really affect me. But I've been sitting with people who are a little bit bigger, and it is really inconvenient, and people can't. Sometimes the tray, if you're a big enough person, the tray is like in your neck. And so I just think if it's a short flight, everyone should just keep their seats upright.
All I ask of JetBlue, they can recline as much as they want, but please, I get the TV back on JetBlue. That's why I like JetBlue, and I haven't had it the last two times I've been on the flights. All right, Grace, thank you. I'm Howie Carr.
Here's how it works with my retirement accounts, and I'll bet yours too. If your 401k, your SEP, your IRA, whatever, is going up, you probably don't think very much about it, right? But if it's going down, well, there's nothing much else you can think of. So for the last couple of years, none of us have been worrying much about those quarterly statements. But lately, it's gotten a little worrisome. It's not that bad, not yet anyway, but what goes up must come down. Now is the time to start thinking about adjusting your investments. Gold and silver have always been a hedge against stock market volatility. Uncertainty about the future has traditionally meant rising prices for precious metals. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company I trust. Give Orion a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling Orion Metal Exchange now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. That's 800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Sad news. Trying to let it destroy your faith in the hip-hop community. Pop Smoke will not be down for breakfast. This is tragic news. No word yet on whether or not Pop Smoke is related to Joe Biden's teen adversary from all those many, many decades ago, Corn Pop in Wilmington, Delaware. 844-500-4242. I just saw the video of Bloomberg saying Donald Trump loved him. It was just a joke video. I don't think they can use that one against him. That was not real Oppo research. Someone was just having a good time playing it. But we'll get the cut and have it on, and we'll get the Chris Matthews cut as well. 844-500-4242. You know, they do have they, you know, any Democrat that ever said anything nice about Donald Trump now has to don sackcloth and ashes and engage in all kinds of acts of contrition. There's a woman who's running for state representative in the Pennsylvania legislature in Pittsburgh. Her name is Heather Cass. And she's a moderate. They're calling her a moderate. But she's had to apologize now because they found her old tweets from a couple of years ago. As I have said, she's now the nominee for a vacant House of Representatives seat in Harrisburg, PA. As I have said before, I hate Obamacare. This bleep, I have to pay bleeping $5,500 a year on top of my husband's bleeping monthly payment to the health plan is bull bleep. This is, again, a Democrat. These lazy, no-good idiots sucking the system dry, and I still have to pay for them. Get a freaking job. It is people who know how to work the system I am sick of. Plus, generations of families on welfare. That is the problem. I work my rear end off just like my husband and both of my kids, and we have to pay for this crap. So done. Go Trump. And that go Trump is followed by 12 exclamation points. If you don't like my post, too bad. It is my opinion. Now she's had to apologize for those un-PC words. Remember the West Side Highway Muslim terrorist? He's from Uzbekistan. He killed eight Americans on the West Side Highway on Halloween night in 2017. His name is Saifullo Saipov. He still hasn't stood trial for his hate crime. This was on the West Side Highway. He's in the Metropolitan Correction Center in New York awaiting trial in April. And he threatened to kill a CO, a correctional officer. And he said he was going to chop off his head. It's a religion of peace, in case you had forgotten that. 844-500-4242. Elizabeth Warren goes after egomaniac billionaire Michael Bloomberg. I told you about that. I want to see if she's going to say egomaniac billionaire. This is a tweet. It's a shame Michael Bloomberg can buy his way into this debate. This was yesterday. But at least now primary voters curious about how each candidate will take on Donald Trump can get a live demonstration of how we each take on an egomaniac billionaire. And this is what she said when he entered the race. His view is that you don't need people who knock on doors. If you get out and knock on 1,000 doors, he'll just spend another $37 million to flood the airwaves. She had no idea. He spent 12 times $37 million. And that's how he plans to buy the nomination of the Democrat Party. So she sounds angry. We'll see in a few hours, though, won't we? 844-500-4242. Richard, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi, Howie. This is Richard.
Hi.
I got a theory for you. I think as we approach the election in November, if the Democrats see that they're losing to Trump, I predict that Ruth Bader Ginsburg will resign from the Supreme Court for health reasons to push them over the line so they can form up their base to help defeat Trump.
I guess that's a decent theory. I just disagree with it. I think she's going to try to hold on as long as she can, you know, and just hope that a Democrat will have a chance to replace her on the court. But you're saying that would just really, really gin up the base if they thought that they were going to lose control of the Supreme Court. But Richard, isn't their fallback position always, well, we may lose this election, but once we win in 2024, which historical trends would say would definitely win in 2024, the Democrats, we'll just pack the Supreme Court, as FDR used to say. They'll just add like six seats. Right? I mean, that's their plan. They're going to allow illegal aliens to vote. They're going to abolish the Electoral College. They're going to change the laws in all these states that where Soros pours money into so they can take over the legislature. So whoever wins the national popular vote will get the electoral votes of the state, no matter how the state votes. They've got all these schemes to make sure that they never lose an election again. Don't you think?
Well, I agree, but I think if you look at 2024, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans have anybody out there right now that I would vote for, because we don't even know who they are. And looking at the cast of characters that are going to be gone, and there doesn't seem to be anybody on the horizon. So
yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, there's always somebody comes around. I mean, look at who. You know, did you have any idea who would be, you know, running for president or winning the presidency in 2012, I never would have predicted Donald Trump. I don't think 1% of the people following politics in the U.S. would have predicted Donald Trump was going to be the president in 2012. So, I mean, who knows who's going to be running in 2024? I mean, I know a lot of people would like to. They talk about on the Democrat side, AOC wants to run. You know, that's why she's working for Bernie. I mean, she wants to pick up the pieces. I think that's pretty clear from the way she's behaving. I think Joe Kennedy, who's a congressman now, he's running for the Senate because you can't really run for the presidency as a congressman. So he wants to get into the Senate. In 4 years, he'll be in his early to mid-40s, and he can run for president. And God only knows who else is going to take a run at it. On the Republican side, Pence will be running, maybe Nikki Haley. Who knows? A lot of people are going to be in there. Thanks for the call, Richard. 844-500-4242. Incidentally, I tell you, they have another judgeship to fill in, not on the Supreme Court, but they have a judgeship to fill in Kansas, a federal judgeship. Carlos Murguia, U.S. District Court Judge. He was appointed by Bill Clinton, and now he has tendered his resignation effective April Fool's Day for two of the things that brought down Bill Clinton, or helped bring him down: sexual misconduct in office and habitual lateness. An investigative committee of the Tenth Circuit discovered that Judge Murguia committed judicial misconduct by sexually harassing judiciary employees, engaging in an extramarital sexual relationship with an individual who'd been convicted of felonies in state court and was on probation, and three, demonstrating habitual tardiness for court engagements. He was the first Hispanic judge in the district, the federal district. And he comes from a prominent family. His younger sister, Mary Murguia, is a federal appeals court judge in Arizona. And another sister, Janet, is president of what used to be known as La Raza, which is this organization of of Hispanics that promotes illegal immigration and welfare for all, et cetera, et cetera. 844-500-4242. 207 says Doug Collins for president. Well, Doug Collins has got the same problem Joe Kennedy has in Massachusetts. Doug Collins in Georgia has got to get elected against a Republican incumbent in the primary, just like Joe Kennedy is running against a Democrat incumbent in the primary in Massachusetts. Collins seems pretty confident. He was here in Boca last week. I talked to him for a while, not on the air, but off the air. 844-500-4242. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Howie, I'm looking for odds from Honest Howie's gaming parlor, because I don't think anyone's going to raise a mitten against our New York guy tonight. I don't think that de Blasio is going to get nobody's going to touch him.
Well, de Blasio's not in it. De Blasio has endorsed. Who did de Blasio endorse? He endorsed Bernie, I believe, didn't he? The last weekend?
Right, yeah. But I don't think anybody's going to raise a mitten against anybody tonight.
I don't know, Tom. I mean, isn't this kind of the last chance for some of these people, other than Bernie?
I just, that's how I believe.
Think they're going to go? I understand, you know, where you're coming from. I have a suspicion that you could be right, but I mean, if I'd been running crisscrossing the country for a year and sleeping in motels and eating rubber chicken and working the phones trying to raise money from people who didn't want to give it. And all of a sudden, this guy moves in and, takes out his checkbook and drives me out of the race. I'd be pretty angry about it, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd want to take one last shot at him.
But what are the costs?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They're going to Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Warren, and Biden, they're probably going to be out of the fight by after Super Tuesday at the latest, right? So they got 2 weeks left. Why not take a shot?
Why not get a chair at some college? Why not get an endowment?
Well, see, there, yeah. See, now, see, you're the practical person on their shoulder. I'm saying, go down swinging. Go down swinging, Amy. You threw the comb, you threw the binder at your age, you threw the comb at a different age on the plane. Why don't you throw the book at Mini Mike? That's what I would say. But I don't know. You could very well be right, Tom. I've been disappointed in these debates before, where nobody was willing to take off the gloves. But if they don't, there's only going to be two left after Super Tuesday, I think, and that's going to be Bernie and Bloomberg. The rest of them are going to be gone. Thanks for the call. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Pop Smoke. I told you he will not be down for breakfast. Trying to let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the hip-hop movement. He was killed in a home invasion in Los Angeles this morning. He's encountered some problems recently. He was arrested last month on charges of transporting a stolen vehicle across state lines, even as he was on the path to becoming the biggest New York rap sensation. In recent memory, the NYPD prevented him from performing at the Rolling Loud Festival in Queens last October, citing safety reasons. Pop Smoke. Again, we don't know if he's related to Corn Pop or not, who tangled with Joe Biden. Maybe Joe Biden will have a moment of silence for Corn Pop's grandson, Pop Smoke, tonight at the debate in Vegas. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, let's take a moment and talk all things Aloha, Howie.
Yes.
Let's talk Tulsi.
She's not going to be on the stage tonight either, unfortunately.
Well, you know, the cards just aren't being dealt to her. She has made a very, very concise yet direct accusation. You know, she's now calling for Perez's resignation over there at the DNC. She was very badly treated, I think, up in New Hampshire when they had dinner prep.
I agree. She was further up in the polls than Steyer, and they let Steyer onto the stage just because he's a billionaire and he's not been accused by Hillary Clinton of being a Russian asset. And you know what? One of the guys at PowerlineBlog.com, I think John Heinerker, he said that he thought that Tulsi had the best shot of any of the Democrats in the race of beating President Trump in November. I mean, she's very far to the left. She supported Bernie Sanders in 2016, but she doesn't hate her fellow Americans. She would defend the First Amendment to the Constitution, the freedom of speech. I know she's kind of flip flopped on pro life issues, but her father is a big time pro life Democrat in the Hawaii State Senate. You know, she's just a normal person, unlike everybody else that's going to be on that stage tonight. You know what I mean?
Well, she followed it. Let's go back to your comment about Bernie and the events at the DNC with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, sabotaging, torpedoing Bernie, you know, back in that summer. And who was, you know, number two in the DNC, and who followed her conscience, you know? It was Tulsi. So she winds up in New Hampshire, and the guy who, you know, is high up in the DNC over there in New Hampshire, oh, by the way, he had been in the national DNC organization. She and he had been co-chairs, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look what they did, to Bernie in Iowa. That was, you know, they used the head of the Iowa Democrat Party as sort of the scapegoat, the patsy for the screw up with the apps. But it was apparently the DNC that was running that, and they stole the caucuses from Bernie. Bernie would have won with a much wider margin in New Hampshire if he had been allowed to win. But they suppressed the vote, and they're still recounting. They don't know, but I think we're all pretty sure that Bernie won, aren't we? I agree. I think Tulsi's been treated very badly. She'd be much more at home in the Republican Party. I know she doesn't want to hear that, but it's a fact. Thanks for the call, Peter. James, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Howie, how you doing, man?
Good. Quickly.
Howie, I just want to tell you a story about, I figured you would get it out there, how bad of a gym this is. I go to a gym, Atlas Gym in Middle Village.
Yeah.
So I wear my hat all the time, my 2020 Trump hat. So
right.
One time about 3 weeks ago, I go back and I look, my jacket's still there and I don't see my hat no more. And I look, I can't find my hat. So I go around to the toilet bowl. It's in the toilet bowl.
Ugh. James, you were the victim of a hate crime. Not as bad as that kid that got it knocked off his head in Windham, New Hampshire, and then the Bernie bro broke the jaw, the guy who came to his defense. But why do they act like this? I'm Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.